If you've tried to end a relationship with a narcissist, or a narcissist has ended a relationship with you, there are several things you can expect to happen. They might just ghost you and appear to have fallen off the planet for a while. They might be moving forward with a new source of narcissistic supply, and that might mean they don't bother you for a while. They might even try to hoover you back into the relationship with some made-up or exaggerated drama, or even a somewhat expected declaration of undying love. The question is, does the narcissist think about you after the discard, or after you leave them? Short answer, yes. But not for reasons you might expect, so let me explain. For the average toxic narcissist, the discard is going to lead to the sort of out of sight, out of mind phenomenon. They don't see you as a whole person, but rather as an extension of themselves. Their perception of relationships isn't the same as yours or mine, because they see previous relationships in a similar way to technology. I've often talked about how narcissists think of love like a cell phone. And what I mean is that their perception of relationships isn't exactly like ours. They kind of see it like a smartphone. So when you first get a smartphone, you think it's awesome because it's new and it's shiny and it has all the good features, stuff you haven't seen before. But eventually it kind of slows down and it becomes obsolete. And then a newer, faster, better model comes out and you quickly upgrade. Maybe you miss a feature or two from the old phone, but you don't really dwell on it because the new phone is so much better. It's exactly how narcissists see relationships. Narcissists have a way of going to revisit their old flames. But you gotta know, it's not about the old flame. Instead, it's about whatever they can get from that person in the form of narcissistic supply. So if that happens to you, don't confuse this with the idea that they miss you or they feel like something is real going on there. Think of it like this. You're craving ice cream and you hear the ding, ding, ding of the ice cream truck coming down the street. What like you think? I was just craving ice cream. So you go outside, you stand there with your money and you're all excited. But then as the ice cream truck approaches, you don't turn away and go back inside if you see a truck that's different than the truck you originally thought you were going to see. Right? You're not thinking of the specific truck at all. You're only thinking of the awesome ice cream that you're about to eat. So it's what the truck can provide you, not the truck itself. You can and you would get your ice cream from any truck. So does that make sense to you? It's kind of how narcissists see relationships. So we're going to dig in and relate this to the narcissists and their psychology. By nature, narcissists are extreme in their affections. They tend to be as shallow as they are unstable. Now, during the love bombing or idealization phase, they're going to find you highly desirable. And since they're in acquisition mode at the beginning of a relationship, they're really on their best behavior. They're trying to get you hooked. They're trying to win you. So they're not going to bother to look for everything wrong with you just yet. They're going to put you up on a pedestal, and they're going to fool both you and themselves in this moment. Now, the truth is that part of the reason we don't notice the red flags during that time is because a lot of the things narcissists are saying, they actually believe at that moment. They really think, at least temporarily, that they have found Mr. or Ms. Perfect. But you have to remember, too, that narcissists lack object constancy. Object constancy is a Freudian concept that essentially means for us that narcissists can't love us and be angry at us in the same moment. So literally, when they feel angry at you, they almost hate you. And that means they can only see you as either nearly perfect or totally and completely worthless. See, there's no in-between. They're black and white kind of thinkers. Of course, right about the time they get you fully attached and enmeshed, they're going to start to notice little bitty flaws around you. Nothing big, just enough to help them recognize that, oh my gosh, this is a human and not like a perfect being. Of course, now that they've got you in their clutches, they're going to see you as a sort of object or a trophy, if you will. While this is going to feel super awesome at first, it almost feels too good to be true, you're going to notice pretty quickly that it actually is the idealization or love bombing phase, and it will end painfully and abruptly as the discard phase comes up. This is around the time the narcissist will get bored, and their feelings seem to go kind of from fire to ice. They'll suddenly become the most critical person you've ever met. Now, it might start subtly at first. You'll get a veiled insult or something, and before you know it, you become the target of pretty horrific psychological abuse. Most narcissists don't have really good relationships, and once they have you, they're almost going to feel like they don't want you anymore. But of course, if they lose you, as you know, they go into hoovering mode a lot of the time. Suddenly they're going to need to be with you again. Nothing will stand in their way. The chase resumes, and guess what? They'll pursue you like no other, at least until they have you back, in which case they circle right back around into the devalue and discard phases. Of course, this can feel almost as good as love bombing to you if you are an unsuspecting codependent. But just like always, the other shoe drops, despite how sincerely the narcissist recently professed their love. And no matter how many exciting and detailed future faking plans, they tricked you into believing. As soon as their interest wanes, suddenly they develop a really convenient case of amnesia and they sort of start backing toward the proverbial exit door, as it were, and right out of the relationship. This is, as you're already aware, I'm sure, a vicious cycle that continues for months, years or even decades. But where does it leave you? Devastated is an understatement. You won't understand how someone who was just so passionate and hot for you a minute ago is suddenly freezing you out. But how could they be so cold? Look, here's the simple, awful truth. In this moment, they do not care about you. Yeah, they might try to suck you back in at some point. And yes, the cycle will repeat if you allow it. But the truth is that they're not coming for you. It's the narcissistic supply that you give them. It's not who you are. It's what you can do for them. So is all this your fault? Did you do something wrong here? No. The fact is that you couldn't have done anything to change the situation. Narcissists repeat this cycle in every single one of their relationships in varying iterations. No matter who you are, and you could be and might be the most amazing person on the planet, it doesn't matter. The narcissist does not succeed in relationships, at least not long-term healthy ones. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of times, they're going to sit around and suck up your narcissistic supply for years if you let them. I know of decades-long relationships like this. But the thing is, they're incapable of keeping up that healthy facade for a long time. And this will lead healthier people, or people who haven't had their self-esteem destroyed by parents or another toxic relationship in their lives, to walk away from the narcissist, which leads the narcissist back to what? A more reliable form of supply. Maybe that's you. Narcissists seem to stop thinking about you when they no longer want you, but most narcissists will repeat this cycle over and over again with you, and like I said, everyone else they're involved with in various capacities and various iterations. But what are you supposed to do if the narcissist just won't leave you alone? How do you deal with a narcissist who refuses to allow you to use no contact or low contact to heal yourself? After all you want is peace. And in order to get that, you need the narcissist to leave you alone. Whether it's an ex, a parent, a sibling, or a coworker, sometimes they just won't leave you alone. Maybe because you're a great source of supply for them, or because something in them feels the need to perpetually torment you. I think we can all agree that dealing with a narcissist is always emotionally and even physically exhausting, especially since you have to deal with little fits of narcissistic rage if something doesn't go their way. They can be verbally, emotionally, and psychologically controlling, abusive, and once you've seen them for what they are, you can't unsee them. Even if a part of you wishes they'd become the person they promised you in the first place, or if the other part of you feels guilty, the truth is that the biggest part of you knows that this person is toxic in your life, and that if you're ever going to be able to begin to create the life that you truly want and deserve, you've got to extricate them in no uncertain terms. So how do you get a narcissist to leave you alone? Now, obviously, learning to set strong boundaries and going no contact with a narcissist would be the ideal thing to do. As uncommon as it feels and as difficult as this can be, no contact can and will work with a parent, a sibling, or even an ex if you don't have to co-parent with them. It'll work if you're dealing with a narcissistic coworker, boss, or a friend, an acquaintance. And just real quick, in case you're unfamiliar with no contact, it's what happens when you literally block the narcissist from contacting you at all. You stop seeing them, speaking to them, and otherwise communicating with them. This, done successfully, will prevent them from harassing you. Of course, in many cases, this leads to the inevitable hoovering stage, like I mentioned, meaning they try to suck you back into the relationship. And that, if we're being honest, means they're trying to hook you back in for their own gain, usually for the narcissistic supply of some kind or another. Hoovers might come in the form of drama or pretending to need help with something that only you can do, or even that declaration of undying love I mentioned a moment ago. When they use the Hoover maneuver, the narcissist might say things like, "Oh, I totally miss you," or give fake apologies. You need to stay strong and keep your boundaries firm if you're not going to give in to them when they do that. However, if you cannot go no contact, there are other ways to get them to stop bothering you. The first one I'm going to share with you might shock you a little, but when you're struggling with getting a narcissist out of your life because you personally don't want to let go, you got a big problem on your hands. While you know logically that they are toxic for you, trauma bonding, abuse amnesia, and feeling lonely can be big deterrents to actually letting go of the narcissist. Which brings me to number one, get justifiably angry. Yeah, I don't know about you, but for me, the effects of anger become very physical. And if I allow myself to stay angry for long, it's not good for me or anyone else. If I stay upset for long, I find that I get sick to my stomach, I clench my jaw, give myself headaches, and I tense up every muscle in my body. You know how it is. It's a miserable way to live. Have you experienced this? The strong effects of emotions on your body? But despite what some toxic gurus will tell you, anger is not a wasted emotion if you use it to your advantage. And as it turns out, it does not negatively affect you physically when it is actively propelling you toward a goal that will make your life better in some way. In fact, it can definitely serve a purpose in your recovery from narcissistic abuse. How? Well, justified anger is sort of like fear with a little courage thrown in. And if I'm being honest, ending my relationship with my ex was sparked by anger. Same for my narcissistic parent. I was angry. In fact, I had to get angry before I could get away. Another time anger served me well was when I lost 100 pounds a few years ago. In order to make the long-term difficult commitment necessary to take off all that weight, I had to get really mad at both myself and the world to get going. Now, there is such a thing as constructive anger, and it is this kind of anger that causes you to stand up and to create positive change in both yourself and your life circumstances. Sometimes, anger can help neutralize your fear and power up your gumption to get you through the hard transitions. You know, the things that you just might be afraid to conquer without that little push of emotion. Listen, the psychology of justified anger is pretty powerful. According to Harry Mills, PhD, anger can also be a substitute for emotion. By this, we mean that sometimes people make themselves so angry that they don't have to feel pain. People change their feelings of pain into anger because it feels better to be angry than it does to be in pain. If you're trying to get a narcissist away from you, find a way to get angry at them for all the horrible things they did to you. This will not only propel you forward and keep your eye on the goal, getting the toxic poison out of your life, but it may also shock the narcissist into realizing that you're actually done with them. With this being said, your anger should be directed toward moving forward for yourself, not any sort of revenge toward the narcissist, at least not directly. This is for two reasons. First, narcissists are dangerous, and if you do anything to directly take revenge on them, you can rest assured they're going to come back at you twice as hard. And second, not only do you not need any more negative energy in your life, but the very best revenge against any narcissist, my friend, is to live your life well without them, taking away the thing they need the very most, narcissistic supply, and giving yourself the peace, the space, and the time you need to heal and live your best life. Which brings me to number two, get your emotions in check. Sometimes you've got to deal with a narcissist for some reason. For example, you can't go no contact with a narcissist if you're co-parenting with them. Or if you're dealing with one at work, sometimes you're stuck. But what you can do is use the Grey Rock method, which means not engaging the narcissist. You keep the emotion out of it. When they try to manipulate you or provoke you, which inevitably they will, you just kind of act like you're detached from the situation. It's a sort of air of professional detachment, even in a personal relationship. You almost try to see them as a stranger and communicate on that same level that you would communicate with someone you don't really know. You become so uninteresting that the narcissist has no other choice but to leave you alone, eventually. You literally almost become the Grey Rock itself. You act boring and uninteresting. The narcissist might look to pick a fight due to differences in opinion, or maybe they just want to get a rise out of you for some reason. But if you won't make eye contact with them and you keep your body language under control, reply with things like, or oh, aha, or that's interesting, and use vague one-word answers, well, they're going to have to give up. They're going to get bored. Basically, you refuse to show them any emotion whatsoever. Now, it's hard when you try it at first, but once you see it working, you're going to notice something. The narcissist is either going to be a little shocked, or they're actually going to up their manipulation game a little at first. Now, at this point, I want you to feel very powerful because you're going to know it's working. Just hold out, and eventually they will realize you're no longer going to give them the reaction they want from you, and they're going to go bother someone else. That brings me to number three, get this narcissist out of your system. This is the most difficult one of all in so many ways. You can do what you can to Grey Rock and show no emotions, but eventually you might cave if the narcissist keeps triggering you. Part of the reason they're so good at pushing your buttons is that they installed some of them, as in their abuse has created certain triggers in you, and they are quite familiar with how to dig at you in order to get those trigger moments flowing. So if you're gonna get the narcissist out of your life, you have to get them out of your head. In a way, you have to do a detox of them so that you can remove them from your emotions, your thoughts, your state of being, all of that stuff, your energy. This way you're gonna be unaffected by their behavior. Now this might require coaching or therapy as well as meditation and journaling, but you can do it yourself if you're willing to give it a shot. It does not matter whether you have to deal with them or you've gone no contact with them. You just need to get them out of your energy, out of your space. Because if you come across the narcissist after going no contact and they see they're no longer getting to you like they once did, then that will be incredibly powerful. They will see that you aren't bothered by them genuinely. They will also leave you alone if they really do see that you're not vulnerable to them anymore.
I'm going to help you out and I'm going to share with you some of the mistakes that I made when I went through the narcissistic discard and exactly how you can avoid them and do a little better than I did when you end your relationship with a narcissist.
The day I met my ex-husband. That day, I was trying to get my friend hooked up with this guy who I thought was more her type than mine. And unfortunately, he seemed more interested in my number than hers. I wouldn't give him mine, but he gave me his, and after a few days, I just threw it away. Well, then I found out that my friend had seen him out in the bars and he was asking where I was. And then my friend said that she had promised him she would bring me with her next time she came out. Well, against my better judgment, I went out and met with this guy who 5 months later I would find myself married to. Speaking of that, when we did get married 5 months later, I remember standing at the altar, staring at him, staring at the minister, staring at all the other people in the room, and freaking the heck out. Inside my head, I was just screaming, "No!" But somehow I pushed through, I thought, for the better. At the time, I was proud of myself for pushing through. Now, it turns out that was a terrible idea. I remember how proud I felt of myself. Ooh, I got over those cold feet, etc. But what it all came down to is that really wasn't cold feet so much as it was intuition, in my opinion, in hindsight. But 4 days after I got married, I found out I was pregnant with my oldest child. Long story short, he turned out to be a narcissist. The end of the relationship, I had just gone through several bad events with him, and then there was a straw that broke the camel's back. It was related to my child. I was done at this point. I had been sort of talking with my parents, who I was still in contact with at the time, about what I was dealing with my ex. And they had told me, when you're ready, let us know and we'll get you out of there. But when you're ready, you better really be ready, because once we help you, that's it. You're not going back. And even though they didn't really have the right to control my life, I didn't really understand that all the way at the time. So I knew in my head that the very minute that I was ready to leave and I made that phone call and I said, okay, let's do this, that it was over. So I waited as long as I could, but then I could wait no more. The problem was that I told them, and then they said, okay, well, we can get everybody together 2 weeks from now. So deal with it for 2 more weeks, and then one day he'll go to work, we'll come get you and all your stuff, and you'll just be gone. Well, that seemed like a great idea. But a week later, I was sitting watching Oprah with my ex-husband on the couch, and Oprah was talking about broken marriages, relationships that didn't work. And as she's talking, as her experts are talking, I just burst into tears. Well, my ex-husband says to me,
"What's wrong, honey? Are you okay?"
Well, I wasn't okay, because I was sick to my stomach with the idea that I was leaving him that following week. So I ended up telling him that I was going to leave, and he begged me not to go, and I said I had to go. I explained how I had told my parents, and I said that if he would straighten up his stuff and get himself together within 3 months, that I would come back. And he agreed. He seemed so suddenly empathetic. Suddenly, from that moment until the very moment that I left that house, for the next week, he was the perfect husband. I doubted my decision from that moment on, but there was no turning back. And so even though I didn't identify this as hoovering behavior at the time, this is what hoovering behavior looked like for him. He found out I was leaving, and suddenly he became the perfect husband. Despite the fact that I was sick to my stomach, that I was crying, that I was doubting myself, I ended up leaving anyway, as I said, because I felt obligated to do so. I remember the day they pulled up to pick me up. He was just leaving for work. I had kissed him goodbye and hugged him and held him tightly. My family seemed a little confused by this behavior, understandably, and I seriously regretted it. I was crying, and I almost felt like somebody was doing this to me by me leaving. Again, I had made the choice to leave. I knew I was doing the right thing when I did it, but because suddenly he had been this perfect husband for the following 7 days, I was doubting myself. I was regretting my decision while I was making the decision. And then the only thing that comforted me for the next few weeks was talking to him on the phone or even going to visit him, which I did a few times. We pretended that we were back together a little bit. We played house, but we never really got back together. And in this case, because I had sort of made a promise to myself and other people in my life that I couldn't go back, even though part of me wanted to go back, I didn't go back. And today I look back and I'm so, so grateful that I didn't do that. So we're going to talk about the mistakes that I made leaving my narcissist that you can either avoid or maybe identify with and help other survivors avoid as we go forward. So let's talk about that. Mistake number one for me was counting on someone else to help me. And what I mean by that is not so much the physical moving part, but counting on someone else's iron will to help me. Because in this case, I was counting on someone else who was trying to control my life. And that person would continue to control my life in different ways for several years after the day that I left this person. Mistake number two was that I doubted myself. But I doubted myself because of mistake number three, which was telling him a week before I left that I was leaving. Why was that a mistake? He did help me pack the stuff, which was nice. But outside of that, I gave him an opportunity to remind me why I got with him in the first place. I gave him an opportunity to show me that he could change. I gave him an opportunity to hoover me, for lack of a better word. I know a lot of you are asking yourselves, well, how do you know he didn't really change and you didn't miss out, right? Well, I happen to be really lucky here because I've actually gotten a chance to speak with two of his following three wives, because of the third one I think he's still married to after me. So I was wife number one. I got a chance to talk to wife two and wife three, and now he's married to wife four, who I have never spoken to. Wife two and three both told me that his behavior during their relationships was pretty much identical to his relationship with me. And that included all the different forms of abuse and neglect that he was so famous for doling out. If I knew then what I know now, I would have done one thing differently. I want to say number one is not allow anyone to affect my decision, but the fact is that maybe I needed that at that moment in my life. But the true mistake that I made of all the other mistakes was telling this person in advance that I was leaving.
Have you ever found yourself wishing the narcissist would regret losing you or wanting them to miss you once you are gone? I totally get how you feel here. And who could blame you for feeling like you want them to suffer a little? I mean, after all, they were horrible to you. And all you did was everything in your power to make them happy. In many cases, you feel like they've kind of ruined your life and maybe even affected it in so many ways that you can't undo. If nothing else, you spent far too long trying to fix the unfixable, and you're rightfully angry. So how can you make the narcissist miss you? How can you make them regret losing you? Well, we have established already that the only thing narcissists miss about you is that supply that you give them or gave them. And then there's one thing that the narcissist regrets about losing you. And sadly, it is that they didn't take even more from you before they did. They don't regret the way they treated you. They don't regret the way they discarded you. And even if you discarded them, they don't regret what they did to cause you to do that. But there is one way that you can cause a narcissist to think they're missing out on you after all. And it's a little easier than you might think. So here's how you make a narcissist miss you. First, you remove yourself. Reduce or eliminate any contact that you have with them following the discard. So just stop engaging with them on any level that isn't absolutely necessary. If possible, obviously go completely no contact and remove them from your life. If that's not possible, just deal with them as much as you absolutely have to. So if you have kids together, only communicate with them about the kids and the business of raising them. No emotion, no kindness, just black and white facts and information. Only what's necessary to do your pickups, your drop-offs, any medical information you need to share with them, and stuff like that. Next, focus on you. Now, once you've started to do the low or no contact thing, you're gonna wanna start to focus on taking care of yourself. The fact is that during your relationship with a narcissist, probably you lost yourself, if you ever fully understood yourself before anyway. And now would be a perfect time to start getting to know yourself for the first time or again. Figure out what you like and what makes you happy. Find out what your passions are if you don't already know and indulge in them. Throw yourself into a fun project or something that makes you want to get up and out of bed in the morning. Imagine what your ideal life would look like and start taking steps to create it now. Next up, fix what's broken. If there is something that you aren't loving about yourself right now that it is possible to change or you're capable of changing, here's an ideal time to do this. Maybe you want to lose a few pounds, or maybe you want to increase your self-esteem or change your hair. Maybe you want to get better at keeping up on your housework, or you want to start working out or reading or going to church again. Whatever it is that you've been meaning to do that you were too busy to do because you had the narcissist, that's going to make you feel more complete and happy. We'll start working on it one tiny baby step at a time. Even just researching your desired result can be a great way to start moving in the right direction. No baby step is too small. That brings me to number three, get clear on what you deserve. You spent a long time feeling worthless thanks to the narcissist and their abuse. Now is a great time to really take a good hard look at this whole situation. Be honest with yourself. Did you really deserve the way they treated you? Was any of it really your fault? Listen, I can tell you with all certainty that you did not deserve that. And how do I know? Because no one deserves to be treated the way a narcissist treats the people closest to them. And chances are that you're a kind, compassionate, and even giving person who loves really hard, which the narcissist obviously knew when they met you, and that's part of the reason they sucked you in the first place and managed to keep you around as long as they did. Let me remind you that you deserve to be loved, to feel safe, and to not be scared in your own home, at the very least. And you deserve to be loved in the same way that you would love someone else. What you don't deserve is to be taken advantage of, abused, and treated like you don't matter. Because my friend, you do matter. Your thoughts, your feelings, your ideas, they're real. And they are worth hearing, and they are worth sharing. Please don't forget that. Number four, live like no one's watching. Yeah. Well, you might be tempted to show off your newfound awesomeness once you do get there, or to send the narcissist a little message letting them know how much better you're doing. don't bother. The truth is that their response, if any, is only going to annoy and frustrate you. Worse, they might try to hoover you, as in suck you back in, so they can get more supply from you now that they can see you're sort of recharging yourself. So rather than sitting around wondering if they're missing you, why don't you try to live like they don't matter? Live like they never even existed. Find ways to make yourself happy and find ways to make yourself feel amazing and embrace them. Truly, now is the time you can actually begin to create the life you've always wanted, or maybe the life you couldn't have imagined before. You can baby step your way there and you can't lose. Meanwhile, the narcissist will be fully aware of the fact that you no longer want or need them because you will be too busy living your amazing life. And the cherry on top of that little ice cream sundae will be the fact that you will be so busy living this sweet life, you might even forget that you ever missed them eventually. And that, my friend, is the ultimate way to get any sort of revenge on the narcissist, to live your life well and without them. You deserve that. To do your own narcissist detox, start with your personal space. Remove anything that reminds you of the narcissist. If you're living in the same space that you shared with the narcissist, consider replacing or rearranging the furniture and the decor in a new way. Wash the curtains or replace them if you can, and change the comforter on your bed. Switch things up a little bit. Now, something I've been doing with several of my clients is I've been using something called an expedited grief weekend. This is where we talk several times a day for 15 minutes each time. And on those calls, they get little assignments that help them get through the most painful parts of grief. And then by the end of the weekend, they have a plan for going forward without the narcissist and with less immediate pain. If you want me to make a video explaining the process that I use, I will be happy to do that. Let me know in the comments. But this is something you can do on your own. Number four, what if the narcissist won't leave your house? In a lot of cases, this is the deal. The narcissist refuses to leave your home even when the relationship has been officially ended. In many cases, this is about control. In some cases, it's more because the narcissist doesn't have the money or the ability to move. But in any case, the narcissist knows leaving the home will mean a more permanent disconnection of narcissistic supply, and so they want to remain in control as long and as much as possible. If this is the case for you, there are certain things you can do. First, if you own the home and the narcissist has a job outside the home, or any other reason they leave at scheduled times, you could pack up everything they own, put it in a storage locker, and pay 1 month's rent on it. Then you could change the locks on your place, tape a note to the front door explaining where their stuff is, along with the storage locker key. Alternatively, you could go through the legal eviction process in your area, which is probably the right thing to do technically, especially if they've stayed in the home longer than 90 days. Now, if the narcissist owns the home or you own the home together, you may need to either prepare to move or get your attorney involved, because getting them out of the house will be a little harder. Now, if physical abuse becomes an issue, you can definitely contact the police after the incident and be sure to press charges. This will buy you a little time. You can get a restraining order, move their stuff out of the house into that storage locker we talked about, and then in any case, always be aware of the eviction laws where you live in case the narcissist does try to get litigious with you. So let's just review here. Is the narcissist going to come back? Most likely if you let them. Do they miss you when you're gone? Sort of. They miss your supply. They miss what you do for them more than they miss you personally. Should you allow a narcissist to come back into your life? Personally, I say no. I think it's a bad idea. I think the only way to really truly heal and move forward in a healthier way is to go no contact with the narcissist. However, there are certain situations in which you can't go no contact with the narcissist. And in that case, there are things that you can do to make them be nicer to you. But in my opinion, these things are short-term solutions, not long-term ones. For example, if you never say anything negative to the narcissist ever about them, or you never criticize them, you never do anything to cut down their self-esteem, that can help. If you agree with everything they say, that can help. If you serve them and do everything they need you to do, and you're a really, really good little source of a narcissistic supply, that can help. The truth is, though, that no one wants to live in a situation like that, at least not for long. Now, sometimes we think, oh, at least it's the wolf I know and not the wolf I don't know. Or sometimes we think, I can't afford to leave. I have too much going on. Or we have kids or whatever. And look, I get it. Not everyone can leave. And I'm certainly not implying that you must get up and leave right this minute. But at the same time, I hope that if you're not actively planning to leave, you're at least thinking about ways that you can get yourself safe emotionally. There are some things you can do if you want to leave the narcissist but haven't done it yet, and maybe you need to plan ahead. So if you do wish that you could leave the narcissist but you're not sure how you're going to do it yet, check out queenbeing.com/plan, P-L-A-N. This brings me to the question of the day. Question of the day. Question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you gone no contact with a narcissist, and do you believe that they missed you or that they wanted you back? Or do you think that it was just that they missed what you could do for them or your narcissistic supply? Have you struggled to get a narcissist to leave you alone? And if so, how did you manage to make it happen? Have you ever wished you could make a narcissist miss you after the discard? If so, how'd it work out for you? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, and share your experiences in the comments section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life, and hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm going to leave for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit the subscribe button right there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.